Coming up on today's show.
The treadmill, just, I was praying fervently, the Sorrowful Mysteries. The treadmill begins pouring out blood.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. After far, far, far too long, I am finally ready to send the first Catholic Sports Radio weekly e-newsletter. This will be short and come to your email inbox for free every Monday to let you know about the newest episode of the show. Hopefully, it will also spur you to share it with others. Sign up to receive that at CatholicSportsRadio.net. You will see the box approximately halfway down the homepage with a header that says newsletter, and you'll see that you simply put in your email address and your name, check the opt-in box, and then hit the blue subscribe button. Do check your email then, though, as I believe it might send you an email to confirm having signed up. Social media-wise, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at the top of the show website, so you can engage with me and the show that way. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community, which is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Incidentally, social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I remember way, way back on episode 19 in the first year of this show and asking pro hockey player Mark Van Gilder about foul language that players use with one another on the ice. Soon thereafter, I was with a fellowship group and relayed this story, and someone furrowed their brow at me and in not so many words told me that was a dumb question, that athletes are not going to bite their tongue during the heat of battle. Rather than search for the right way to rebuke his claims, I simply cited what Van Gilder told me, which was, yes, that he is aware that young fans might hear him, and he needs to set a good Christian example, even during spirited play on the ice. In fact, very, very recently, a Catholic Sports Radio guest and I talked off the air about naysayers and people who want to try to douse the flame that servants like us are trying to do for the kingdom. If you start to pay closer attention, you will notice at the ball field, at football stadiums, out on the golf course, on the tennis court, that there are people around you who are actually trying to stifle your evangelization efforts. Draw from the New Testament, where in Romans 16, it says in verses 17 and 18, "I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who create dissension and obstacles in opposition to the teaching that you learned. Avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by fair and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the innocent." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is in her second season as an assistant coach with the Ave Maria Cross Country and Track programs. Previously, she had been an assistant coach for the cross-country and track programs at the University of Arkansas Little Rock for two seasons. She also has coaching experience at the high school level, having coached at two high schools in the Portland, Oregon area. While there, she also spent 5 years as a running coach at Nike World Headquarters. Back in her college days, she was a decorated student athlete and has remained an active runner, currently holding the world records for fastest 10K race and fastest half marathon finished while pushing a stroller. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Julia Webb.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for that intro. I'm excited to be here.
Julia, this is neat. I think this is the first time that I've had a husband and wife on the show. Off the top of my head, I remember a sister and brother who were on separate episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. And in this case, just over 7 months ago, on episode 213, your husband Alan was my guest. You both have different faith journeys, though, and for that matter, sports journeys. So let's start off by hearing first where you are originally from and what the family size was, wherever that was that you were born and raised.
I was born and raised in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which is about an hour south of Green Bay, where the Packers are. My mom actually grew up down the street from the stadium. And most of my family still remains there. I have three brothers and one younger sister.
Ah, okay. On episode 213, your husband talked about having just come into full communion with the Catholic Church in 2017, having originally been baptized in the Episcopal Church. Not the case with you, though, Julia, correct? Born and raised Catholic, yes?
Yes, born and raised Catholic.
I mentioned in the intro that in college you were a decorated student athlete, and audience, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I am going to put a link to Julia's bio on the Ave Maria University website, and you can go there to read all those highlights about her from back then. But Julia, when did you actually start playing sports, and which ones?
I started playing sports probably as like a one-year-old, playing basketball in my basement, but I've always been extremely active, and my dad was a successful basketball player at the high school level, and he ran track a little bit, and I always wanted to be just like him, so I always had a basketball in my hand or a soccer ball, played a little bit of hockey in our backyard. I started playing on team sports when I was in second grade, gymnastics from about first grade up till eighth grade, and it was clear that that was not my future. I was very tall. I'm 5'10" right now. So I was about my current height when I was in eighth grade. So just imagine me being a gymnast. And then I started basketball became my number one love. And then later in life, I discovered that I was a much better runner. So I didn't start running until my senior year of high school.
Okay. And this sounds like one of the guests that I have on occasionally where I say that I should have asked, what sports did you not play?
Volleyball. It's actually one sport I never played. And that's one I enjoy. It's kind of fun, but that's the one. I did swim lessons, but I've never swam on a team. But I did my first swim race this summer, which was like an accomplishment just to complete one in a open water in Canada. So, but other than that, I've done quite a few.
Well, audience, despite you having heard us say that Julia is a cradle Catholic, she still has what she calls her conversion story. So not in the sense of other guests who we've heard talk about converting to Catholicism from some other denomination. Julia, I know this is a long, long story, and I don't want to shortchange it, but there's another story you have too, and other things I'd like to discuss. So if you can give us a condensed version of what you call your conversion story, I know this is going to be very powerful. And folks, Julia offered to make herself vulnerable and share this story publicly for only the second time, the first having been at an ACTS retreat in Portland, Oregon, 5 years ago. So Julia, if you would, please.
Yes. So I grew up Catholic, and my mom is a strong reason for that. She has been very faithful, and she's always been a role model to me in the faith, but we've always been at odds against each other, and we've always kind of fought. And I say we started our battle like at day one, and I was born. I believe it was 19 days overdue, and it was like I didn't want to come out of the womb into the world, and I was fighting her every step of the way. And you know, she had been faithful. She had met my dad, and they're still married. They're amazing. Very faithful to this day, but he had been a convert to the faith, and he kind of was, you know, he was Catholic just by name. He's like, okay, my wife's Catholic, I better turn Catholic, it'll be easier for the marriage. But he never really was like a role model in that category. He was a little bit lukewarm when I was growing up, and I wanted to be just like my dad. So I saw him, and I would see him at Mass, and he didn't have the fire that you see most people, you know, when they're truly like in love with Jesus. He was just there, and I just thought, yeah, I don't know why we're here, you know. And I did know it was very important to go to Mass. I just, that was like ingrained in my being. And so that was the one thing, even throughout my greatest fall, which I fell very, very hard, I still found myself attending Mass. And I believe that is one reason why I am here where I am now, which I'm staring at the church here, the big oratory in Ave Maria, where faith is the center of my life, along with my family. But yes, I fell really, really hard. I had been fighting with my mom as a child, as a youth. I mean, she would say, put this hat on, it's cold out. And I would scream and have a fight and say, no way, you're telling me to do this. I will not. So of course she was telling me, this is the way we're going to live. We're going to live according to, you know, the Catholic Church. You're not going to be doing this or that. And she definitely used some scare tactics, which I was like, I don't care. I'm tough. I'm not afraid of that. And, and yeah, and I just didn't have that love in my heart for Christ like I do now. And I just was, just had this rebellious spirit to me, and it really ruined me. And I see it, and I have four daughters, and I see that they definitely have the rebellion in them. And so I'm trying to just get them to fall in love with Jesus on their own and not be a forceful thing. But when it came to my teen years is when the rebellion really took a downward spiral and just ruined, like, my soul was just in a, just the pit. It was horrible. I began just engaging in some really, what would you say, obscene behavior, I'd say, with morality. When I was in middle school, I befriended a girl, and I was like, wow, like, she opened up for me, like, the door to, like, what sex is and like a, and just totally outside the marriage context, obviously. And she was at my Catholic school. I was in a Catholic school at the time, and I thought, wow, this is like exciting. And here I knew my mom was like, this is wrong, but I was like, you know what, if this is wrong, I know God forgives. I can be forgiven later in life. I want to have fun now. And my mom says I'm going to get hurt from doing this, and I'm not afraid of that. So it just became like this conquest for me, like as an eighth grader, to like make out with as many boys as I could. And here I didn't have any sense of like dating them. I had extreme bodily shame at the time as well. I was a very like skinny, wiry girl. And I to this day, if you saw me, you'd say, yes, you're very lean and thin, but it's to my advantage as a runner. And it's like, it's been since I was younger. And here my mom was like, you know, you need to gain weight for puberty. That was her thing. She was always like worried about me. She'd always be shoving cookies at me and just telling me like she you know, I don't want to call her out too much because I love her so much. I'm not going to fling her into the mud here. But she was just trying to look out for my best interest. But it was very much like for me, like, okay, if you're telling me to gain weight, I will do the opposite. So at the same time, while I was like trending downward spiral with my girls and just like, you know, listening to rap music in my headphones and just exposing myself to just complete filth, including like my friends had pornography at her house and just so many things that was just awful, you know. It was also, I started abusing my body by just basically started to starve myself. And I kept it very hidden, but I just was like, note to self, I am not going to be quote chubby, or I'm not going to get this like pre-puberty, like whatever it is my mom wants me to get. She thinks I'm too skinny. Too bad. Wait till you see what I can do. And so here I was like a pretty scrawny kid to begin with. And then it didn't take much to just restrict some food a little bit more and just, and I loved being active. So then it was like, okay, I'll just increase my activity. And it spiraled into a full blown eating disorder. And along with that, my basketball career, which I had poured my heart and soul into my freshman, sophomore year, all of a sudden my sophomore year, I was, you know, losing weight is not going to help you on the basketball court, along with a verbally abusive coach. And all of a sudden it was like, I found myself like, your basketball career is gone. So then it just became all my energy into this eating disorder. And here I was trying to hide it. So I was like, well, to hide it, I have to eat it, you know, around people. But then I'd just go work out in secret and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Like I'd leave class to go do like squat jumps in the the bathroom stall. You know, I'd wake up at 5:30 in the morning to do, like, make sure I do my 8-minute abs, 10-minute glutes, or whatever these weird tapes I would watch in the 90s. You know, and it was just so, like, I became, like, OCD about it, and that became, like, I don't know what that was. It was just my rebellion against my mom, and here I had all this hatred in my heart for her, and I just was engaged in all these sinful activities, and yet I was still in a Catholic school, and so it just shows that you can actually put your kids in situations that are, you know, good and stuff, but you also have to be aware of who are the friends at that school, you know, and that was the one thing. It was like my mom should have saw some warning signs with that girl. Like, she was from a very broken home, and she had all these brothers, and you know, you got to kind of supervise and see where your kids are going a little bit more. Not saying that she didn't try her best. She had four younger children at the time, but, yeah, so just it got worse and worse, and eventually I got to the point where my mom was like, I've had enough. Like, she was ready to put me in a group home because I was so defiant with my behavior. I mean, one time I remember, like, almost running her over with a car because I was so upset with her. I mean, it was just awful. And you know, it's like, to this day, I love her so much. We've reconciled, and she is incredible, and it's her prayers why I'm here at Ave Maria, where Jesus, the Eucharist, I pretty much get almost daily. It's amazing, like, because she never gave up on me. She, you know, she had me seek help. I ended up in, like, a mental hospital for a week, just to try to help me get out of that funk of the eating disorder, which I was, like, determined. I was like, I am not one of these people. I can prove that I can get out of here. Of course, I'm just so stubborn. I'm like, I will get out. So I was only there for a week. And I shortly kind of started recovering from that after that, because I was like, whoa, that was a scare moment. I got to get out of here. But it's like my mom, just her thing, we had, you know, rosary at night with the family. And of course I would, like, say, I'm not going to attend, but here she's doing it. She's praying for me. And her prayers were so effective. And there's one prayer I want to, one thing about the rosary I want to share later, which is why we're here in Ave Maria. Thanks to my mom's rosary, as well as my husband, Alan, hit my mom's rosary. Another reason why he is the Catholic man he is today, along with other people's prayers. But this is a long story, and it's very deep, and it's kind of scary to think about, because I feel like I've changed completely from this person, this teenager.
But as defiant as you were being and everything that you've described up until this point,
yes.
What was it? I mean, I know you keep saying your mom's prayers, your mom's prayers, your mom's prayers, but you had to see something that finally made you turn the corner. I mean, was that 1 week impactful on you at the mental hospital? What finally got you to turn around and make the return fully into your Catholic faith?
Oh, it was by far the sport of running. And so that's what I'm going to mention next. So I was, you know, I had this dream to be a basketball star. And when that dream died, it was like all hell broke loose in my life. So then my mom noticed, she's like, you know, you do much better when you're in sports. She's like, you should really try running, but you got to get healthy first. And this is after I got out of the mental hospital, or whatever you want to call it, the psych hospital. And I had been steadily gaining weight and getting a little bit healthier. And she's like, and she actually bribed me with a car at that point. She's like, if you can weigh this X amount by this date, then I can buy you a car. And, you know, I'm like 16, and I'm like thinking, okay, a car, that's worth it. I can gain 10 pounds, you know. So I was healthy enough to run, and I got a pass for the doctor. And here she's like, you should try running. And I was like, I don't want to do your sport, because that was her sport. And I was like, I don't do what my mom does. I'm my own person. And she had always noticed how I was, you know, fast, and I was so energetic. And and so finally I was like, sure, I'll try this race. So we went to this 5K race, and I had never done more than like a mile at a time, you know, here and there. I do stuff on a treadmill. I lifted weights. I was very active. But so I did this 5K, and I was wearing basketball shoes, a sweatshirt, and it was like totally overdressed. And I ended up placing second overall, and this college, I think it was a high school coach, beat me. And she's like, oh, which team do you run for? That was amazing. You did so well. I ran like 21:05 or something, which is pretty good for not ever running a 5K. And I'm like, that was my longest run ever, you know? And she's like, what? You should join the team. And I was like, you know what? I will. I'll join the team. And of course, the cross country coach was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't want that crazy anorexic girl joining the team, you know? So it was a little bit of like, I had to prove, and I was like, well, if this is the ticket to, like, you know, me you know, I recognize, like, wow, this is actually kind of cool. I don't have to do some crazy exercise in the bathroom. Like, this is what I like. Like, I love endorphins. Mm. I love running and I love moving around, but I just had to get over that this was my mom's thing.
Mm.
Which is sad that I was so rebellious that I just didn't even want to do something that was clearly like my thing. So, I started running and it was like all of a sudden it just broke me free of that, that eating disorder. I was like, I saw running as like, you need to feel your body. You need energy. You cannot skimp out on anything or you're not going to have energy. You're going to be weak. You're going to get, you know, you're running out of gas at the end of races. So I just like, all of a sudden I channeled all that energy into like doing that crazy workouts into like, okay, what could I do to be a faster runner? And then within like 3 months, I qualified for state and I was, I believe, in the top 30 my senior year at the Division I level in Wisconsin. So I was just like, wow, this is it. And that's when I started realizing too that I'm like, I started ditching the friends that I had and I was this is. And I also was going through confirmation, and I definitely don't remember exactly, but there was definitely a spiritual turning there. And this is, you know, like I said, my mom, she had a faithful group of friends. My dad was starting to become much, much more like, he was like really going back to confession, all that kind of things. And I was like, so all that was powerful, and it started my turn. And I definitely had lapses when I got to college. You know, I was in the world of like public school and, you know, you're on your own, but I had, my team was incredible in college. We were just surrounded by Christian friends, not many Catholics, but we did have a group that would go to mass. And it's probably my freshman year was my, where I definitely am not proud of it, but by sophomore year, I was like, this is it. I am leaving that life behind. And I want to follow the Lord. And that's when I came to terms with my mom. And I was like, Mom, I'm so sorry. And we needed some distance, too. I was 3 hours away at that time, and I had matured. So yes, and that's kind of where it started. And it's just a continuous journey. I mean, I'm still every day converting. You know, it's never like a one and done.
We all are. We all are. Praise God, though. What a great, great story. What an amazing testimony. What a great victory for the kingdom. What great witness that you've shared. And folks, trust me, Julia could have gone into much, much, much more detail, but I hope that story was as impactful as I felt it would be for her to share with you. And keep in mind, if you heard me say it before I had her start into that, she has another story that she's going to share with us. However, it has been a long time since I mentioned this, but I hope you don't hit the skip ahead button at the beginning of the show each week, because I am actually saying the intro live each week. Julia can attest to that. I don't just drop in a pre-recorded clip. So a lot of times I'm passing along new information, like a couple weeks ago when I said that I'm planning a new video for the YouTube channel, or even at the beginning of this episode when I said that the long overdue Catholic Sports Radio weekly newsletter is now ready to start being sent out each Monday. The latter, meaning the e-newsletter, took a long, long time for me to finally get to where I can send it to you each week, in large part because I am just a one-person operation doing this all by myself. But also, I had to finally cave in and get outside help. Otherwise, it would never see the light of day. Unfortunately, that came at a cost. I had to enlist the services of an email marketing expert to do a lot of behind-the-scenes work. And since it involves you signing up through the Catholic Sports Radio website in order to get on the list, I had to get the person I mentioned a little ways back that I'm now having do the website work that's over my head to both update the sign-up form and fix something in the newsletter that the email marketing person couldn't solve. The email marketing expert alone, her invoice is over $100, $112.75 to be exact. I say all this to give you just two more recent examples of the types of expenses I face in operating this ministry. This is where I remind you that I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I still not have any sponsors, darn it. And that means that I have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to somehow cover these costs that just seem to keep popping up. While I have had some past guests and some listeners send me a financial gift, there's miles to go before we sleep, as my high school social studies teacher used to say. I do hope that this show is helping you in your faith life and that you're finding value in the work that I am doing through Catholic Sports Radio. And of course, that you get enjoyment from listening and that as a result, you would feel moved to prayerfully consider supporting my ministry as part of your tithing and help with all these costs that I mention every time they happen. How can you do that? Well, the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure. And you type the exact amount into that online platform, meaning whatever amount you're comfortable giving, it's entirely up to you. There's not a drop-down list of predetermined amounts for you to choose from and agonize over. No amount is too small. For that matter, no amount is too big. For those that are hesitant to put credit card information on the internet, simply contact me instead, and I will give you the details for sending me a check through the mail, which others have done in the past. You can either message me through social media or send an email to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will personally write you back with that relevant information. As a thank you to anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount or the method, online or check, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode with your permission, or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous. Your support of my work really does mean a lot to me. I'm grateful for you listening and for considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. As amazing as Julia's story was before the break, she actually has another really powerful story that I would like her to share now. I mentioned earlier in the show that her husband, Alan, was on the show at the end of February on episode 213, during which he talked about Life Runners, something created by Dr. Pat Castle, who was my guest on episode 210. Julia, this other story that I'd like for you to share with us is centered around Life Runners, which, by the way, sorry folks, is the world's largest pro-life team. This story that Julia is about to tell is paraphrased from a speech she gave at the Life Runners annual race in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the night before she broke the Guinness World Record stroller run. Julia?
Yes. So I joined Life Runners when I lived in Portland, Oregon. I had been running competitively for over a decade. And so I was in, you know, Portland. If you've been there, it's kind of a rough city. It's beautiful. And, you know, there's so much goodness there. There is some really good Catholic communities there as well. But the running community that I was in was very secular. And I felt like it was very empty, that I was running and I was on these teams. And I just felt like I should be doing something for the Lord. And so I just went on a Google search and I said, pro-life running team. And that's what I typed in. And this was in early 2019. Because I just was, you know, growing in my faith, and my husband was now Catholic, and he was just, like, on fire, and I was like, you know, he doesn't do anything halfway. He was like, you know, if we're going to do this, we're 100% in, and here I'm, like, hanging out with all these friends, and we have nothing in common with the faith, like, not a thing. And, you know, I love these girls and these people that I'm running with, but it just felt like, I'm like, what am I doing this for, you know? So I, at that time, I was a mother of three. My third child was just born, and I, you know, I had also done some sidewalk ministry with St. Pius the 10th Church in Portland at the abortion clinics, and I just felt very called. You know, this is something like from when I was a child. Like, my mom would take me to pro-life rallies, and I just, you know, I'm like, okay, a baby. When a baby is conceived, it's a baby. It's not anything else. Like, I mean, you don't just kill a toddler because they're not as smart as, you know, a 30-year-old. Like, no, the baby just needs a chance to live. So anyway, long story. But I found out that Life Runners was a worldwide team, and that you could start chapters, and that there was, you know, a chapter in so many big cities. And I don't believe Portland actually had a chapter, because I actually moved shortly after I joined the team to Arkansas. But anyway, I joined the team, and the weekend I was planning to debut with my jersey, which says in bold letters, "Remember the Unborn," I was sweating bullets, because I was like, okay, I'm going to show up at this Portland event, and all my friends are going to be there. And I was like, I got to do it. You know, I'm like, I know they don't believe that a baby is a baby until it's, like, you know, born, which is ridiculous. And I know openly that some of them were pro-choice, as they were, like, putting on their Facebook page, you know, donate to Planned Parenthood for my birthday. And here I'm like, oh my goodness, how did I evolve to becoming, you know, so close friends? And I still love these girls to this day, and I'm praying for them. Yeah, so I was like, okay, getting my jersey ready and lined up, and here I'm on a run like a day or two before this race, and it's in the mail, it's coming, and here my friend is like, oh yeah, you know, we're real good friends, and she's like, I'm pregnant, and I'm like, well, you're pregnant, that's amazing, and you know, she's not married, she's like, oh yeah, I'm not keeping it, and I'm like, what do you mean you're not keeping it? And here it's like one of my closest friends. We had put in hundreds of miles together, just sweat and almost like blood on the track. We pushed so hard, you know, and we are both like successful runners and on this team together. And here I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, you're going to be an amazing mom. I'm like, no, what do you mean you're not keeping it? And she's like, no, I'm going to take care of it. I'm like, no, you know, and so here she's like regrets telling me because she thought I just kind of shrug it off. And yeah, and so then I was like just praying for her, and then the race day comes along, and you know, it's like she sees my jersey and just menacing text, like, who do you think you are? You know, like, it's like I'm directly like, you know, attacking her with this, and here I'm just like, I don't know, God moment, like I didn't mean to, because it's like crazy that happened the same weekend. And just many other friends, and I don't want to name any names or call them out, but it was tough, and it still is. Like, to this day, I it's easy to be a life runner when you're in a pro-life community. Like, here in Ave Maria, the team is incredible. Like, I mean, this team, you know, we show up to our practices, and on any given day, there's about 10 of them that will be wearing the jersey, you know, and they are just so bold, and we start the day out in prayer, and it's just amazing. But when you leave the little bubble, like last year, I went to San Francisco to race at Golden Gate State Park. And it's like, you know, I'm wearing this jersey, and it's a USATF event, and there's hundreds and thousands of people, and including all my Portland friends. And it's like, I can feel the tension in the air because they think I'm, you know, just not doing my part if you believe that, then why don't you adopt 5 kids, you know, or this and that, you know? Okay, so it's better to kill a child, you know, but no, it's definitely like you're wearing a billboard in some sense. So the story I shared at the Life Runners event was, it was the day of my 9th anniversary of my getting married to Alan. And I was just feeling really weary and kind of tired about, you know, like, do I really need to be part of this team? I was having trouble recruiting. And it just, all of a sudden, at 9 miles into this run on my 9th anniversary, and it's something I still have to prove to this day because I have it, but the treadmill, just, I was praying fervently the Sorrowful Mysteries. The treadmill begins pouring out blood. And it's something that I, like I said, I still have not proven it. The words heart rate just started dripping blood. And you're going to just be like, wait, what? And I checked everywhere. And I'm like, there is no blood coming out of me. What is going on? And I don't know. You can say a bleeding treadmill. Is that really the blood of Christ? And honestly, I have the blood, and I've given it to somebody who works at a lab at Ave Maria. So I'm actually recently waiting for see what's going on. But it just was a sign to me that, like, wow, like, this is it. Like, it just gave me the Holy Spirit. I was just so filled. And from that moment on, I've just, like, never questioned, is this the right thing to do? And Alan, he always says, he's like, you know, if we're taken down for our faith, you know, it's worth it. Like, that is what Christ wants us. And recently I just feel so much peace when I see things that people are like on social media saying this or that about me. Cause recently Alan, his record was broken, and I saw some grumblings on some website about it. And they were talking about how I've brainwashed him, and now he's this Catholic crazy guy. And I'm like, in the past they may have cringed, but I just felt so much peace. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we're called to do. We have to stand up and be persecuted is the word I was looking for Christ. And if we're not, it's like we're just being private with our relationship. And it's not meant to be. It's meant to be shared. We are meant to preach, and we have to stand up for the truth. And so now it's just like, you know, being here with this army of pro-life collegiate athletes, it's like I have so much conviction that what we're doing is necessary in this today's day and age. It's just somebody has to stand up for, especially for the unborn.
Getting back to the story about the treadmill, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you have video of that. Is that true? And if so, can you give out your Instagram and can people see it there?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And this is like an unsolved mystery too. And I feel like this conversation is prompting me. My Instagram is @runjweb. And I do have it like linked on my stories at the top. I need to clean it up. It's really old, some of my stuff. But it's linked miracle question mark. And yes, I had taken a video about mile 8 into that run, and the treadmill is completely clean. And and all of a sudden at mile 9, I'm like, what is this? And I was taking a video of the blood. But like I said, I have the blood. It's in the hands of somebody in the bio department here. Okay. So we will see.
Wow. Well, speaking of Ave Maria, let's make sure we take some time here and talk about you being on the coaching staff of the Ave Maria cross country and track programs. You can tell us how things are going in terms of wins and losses if you'd like, but since Ave Maria is a Catholic university, I'd particularly like to hear about how present the faith is in your everyday dealings with student athletes.
It is a daily occurrence. I mean, it is goes hand in hand. This morning, we were out at 5:45 in the morning, and we huddle and we start every practice with a prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we have so much gratitude and thanksgiving, first of all, for just having so many opportunities to grow in faith here at the university. I believe there's 11 daily masses, so it's like you have Jesus everywhere. And, you know, there's Eucharistic adoration, like there's little chapels that are like, wait, I didn't know about that one. It's incredible. These athletes, we have 24 girls on the team, and I believe it's 20 or 18 guys. I should know exactly, but they come from all corners of the country. Some of them have transferred just because they're kind of fed up with the culture and they want a true Catholic authentic experience. And it's the fullness of the faith here. I mean, it is not watered down, and we do not shy away from just and everything we do is like Christ-centered. And so here today, this morning, we went out and we ran intervals on loop after loop on this tough grass, and it's soggy, it's swampy, there's alligators around us. In every interval, it's like amazing. You hear the girls, they're huddled together. They're like, okay, we're going to pack it up. Okay, what's this next interval for? Who are we going to pray for? You know, as they're pouring their heart and soul out onto this soggy cross-country course. And, you know, everybody's chiming in. And then it's like we're on a GroupMe, and I get, you know, a message sent out, holy hour this time, or, you know, or can you please pray for this person?
Fantastic.
We do rosaries on the bus. I mean, it's a dream come true for a Catholic coach. So me and Alan are so, so blessed. And it's also the town with my children, they're at the Donahue Academy, and it's like the same thing. It's amazing. They have daily mass, they have adoration, they have confession at their fingertips, and every single teacher is just devout. So it is like a Catholic dream here. And I feel like there's no coincidence that, you know, the hurricane was Ian destroyed towns nearby, and Ave was completely protected. And that was last year. So everyone's like, were you nervous during the hurricane? And I'm like, actually, I wasn't too nervous. I feel like Mary's own city is going to be safe. I just highly recommend it. If you have any college children or anybody you know that's looking for a true Catholic experience, this is, at least come check it out.
Folks, you just heard Julia mention her husband again, and I was mentioning before. I hope that you know any time that I'm doing an interview and I refer back to an old episode of Catholic Sports Radio, it's my way of encouraging you, if you had never heard that one before, to go back and listen. So episode 213 with Alan Webb, and I mentioned Dr. Pat Castle back on episode 210. If you never heard either one of those, do please go back and check those out. Julia, away from Ave Maria, is there anything ahead for you competition-wise as a runner?
My dream and goal right now is to get back to the U.S. Championships. Last year they were in San Francisco. This year they'll be in Tallahassee, so not far. It's a cross-country race that club teams around the country will go to, and the Portland running community sends tons of teams there, so I'll see lots of old friends. And I'll be representing Life Runners. I'm actually currently coming off of a small injury, so I'm not running for the first time in a while, but it's 10 weeks away, and so I hope to see, hopefully you can see me put out some sweat and tears on that course in Tallahassee.
All right, and folks, please do lift up prayers for Julia as she pursues that. In closing, your husband, of course, told about your marriage and your family back on episode 213. But as we close, Julia, is there anything that you would like to share about your immediate family?
Yes. So I have 4 girls. And since coming to Ave, honestly, before this, I wasn't sure if are we called to have more children. And the answer is definitely yes. I feel that the Lord has just put that desire back in my heart. And we actually just had our first loss this summer. We named our baby Anthony Kelly. And so it was very interesting that it was the earliest I was ever aware that I was pregnant, but it was like also the most joy-filled pregnancy. It was a very short pregnancy, but it was a baby indeed. And I just, every run I knew the baby was there, and it was just so exciting. And my children had been praying, cause they kind of were like, Mom, are we gonna have a brother or sister? What's going on? You know, cause my youngest is two. And I was like, you know what? We'll see what happens. And I hear during the consecration at a mass, my 4-year-old, who doesn't pray often out loud, was saying, Jesus, please let me mommy have twin brothers, you know? So we don't know if it was one or two, but we named the babies Anthony Kelly, and we recently had a burial in Wisconsin. And this is only a 4-week pregnancy, so I just really encourage it. I mean, we had joy just during that small time that we had, and we know that, you know, someday we're going to meet this baby in heaven. Maybe there was a reason God called them home, but we trust in you, Jesus. If it is to be that we have more children, I am 40, so it is, you know, it gets a little tougher, but life is life when it begins. So I just think that it's very important, and you shouldn't feel ashamed if it's like, well, the baby was only 5 weeks, you know, or this or that. It is a child, and I do believe, I feel like so much just joy for that small life that we got to share with that child.
Yeah, and folks, something similar was discussed on this show when Chris Ice was my guest. If you never heard that interview, a very, very moving conversation. I'll warn you in advance, that's one that you're definitely going to want to have some tissues standing by for, unfortunately, but an important interview to listen to nonetheless, in my opinion. That was episode 232, I believe, and go listen to it so that you can let me know if I was wrong, but I believe 10 children, but 3 in heaven. And so now here's Julia kind of saying the same thing, that those 3 count just as much as the 7 that Chris still has on this earth. And Julia saying the same thing about the departed baby Tony, just the way that she is about the 4 girls that her and Alan currently have. And as far as being 40 years old, as it says in Luke 1:37, for nothing shall be impossible for God. So Julia, my gosh, such great testimony. Thank you so much for coming on Catholic Sports Radio and sharing your witness with us. And God bless you and your family.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And folks, I now know why the Lord put on my heart as I prepared for this interview the prayer that I picked out to conclude with today, because I think I was wrestling with, do I do an athlete prayer for all of Julia's competition years? Do I recognize the fact that she's been doing so much coaching? And instead, what was put on my heart was to close this episode with a prayer for parents, and now I know why. So let's pray that together now, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love within the embrace of their team. May Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.